Some of you may remember about, probably 12 or 13 weeks ago when I launched this sermon series on the life of Joseph. We did a little exercise, and I've changed the questions, so to speak, but here we go. If you've ever been disappointed, please stand up. This is like the seventh inning stretch for all of you, okay? If you've ever been disappointed, stand up. All right. Now, if you've ever felt things were unfair, stay standing. I guessed. That's what we look around, right? If you were ever falsely accused of doing something you didn't do, stay standing. If you were ever mistreated by a family member, a loved one, or a friend, stay standing. If you've ever wondered why God might allow difficulties and challenges in your life, stay standing. Look around. Let's just say this. Joseph has good company. All right? Sit down. Thank you. Joseph's life was very complicated. And you know what? Sometimes our lives are complicated as well. Probably not as crazy as Joseph's, but maybe. If you remember, Joseph was part of a blended family that was very dysfunctional. He had 3 stepmothers, 10 stepbrothers, and a stepsister all living under the same roof. Jacob, who was Joseph's father, was a polygamist. He was a passive parent, and he openly showed favoritism among his children. Jacob's wives were certainly jealous and insecure. He made it known very clearly that there was really only one of those wives that he really loved, and that was Rachel. Everybody else was like, whatever, right? And then this home had these 4 unhappy women in it. Now, you've heard the phrase, if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. Imagine having 4 unhappy mamas under the same roof. And that is the environment that Joseph was growing up in. I don't know. I don't know what he was, okay? As we conclude our sermon series today, we come to the end of Joseph's life. And I want you to go in the scriptures to Genesis chapter 50. If you brought a Bible, please turn there. If not, there's a pew Bible and some page numbers for your convenience. Beginning with verse 22, it says, Joseph stayed in Egypt along with his father's family. He lived 110 years and saw the 3rd generation of Ephraim's children. Also, the children of Machir, son of Manasseh, were placed at birth on Joseph's knees. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die. But God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Joseph made the sons of Israel swear an oath and said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up from this place. So Joseph died at the age of 110, and after they embalmed him, he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. So Joseph lived to be 110. That's not bad, right? That's a blessing. He lived to see his great, great, great grandchildren. Imagine that. As he was nearing the time of his death, he reminded his brothers of God's faithfulness. In verse 24, he said, God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, to Isaac, and to our father Jacob. He was reminding his brothers that God gave a promise and that God would fulfill that promise. Now, if you recall, God had promised to give Abraham a land. That land was from the river in Egypt to the great Euphrates River. And he promised that that would be the land forever for Abraham and for his descendants. In this statement, he was also prophetically stating that the day would come that God would come to their aid and God would bring them out of Egypt and take them back to that land. But then he also made it very clear that he did not want to be buried there in Egypt, but that he wanted to go back to the land of his ancestors, to the land of Canaan. It's interesting when you think about this. Joseph was the first of his family to go to Egypt. And he got there because his brothers, the very men that he's talking to in this text, sold him as a slave. That's how he got into Egypt. And now he's telling them, someday God is going to take our people out of Egypt, and he's going to take them back to the land. And it is your very descendants. You're the ones who sent me here, and your descendants will be the ones that will carry my body out of here. Now, there is God carefully included in his inspired word information concerning this. And it says in Exodus chapter 13, he says, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear on an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. So when the Israelites in Exodus made their great departure out of the bondage of Egypt, Moses was careful to fulfill this request of Joseph and making sure that his bones were taken with him. But the book of Joshua gives us another detail, and it says, and Joseph's bones, which the Israelites had brought up from Egypt, were buried at Shechem in the tract of land that Jacob bought for 100 pieces of silver from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. This became the inheritance of Joseph's descendants. And so we see that this text was completely fulfilled over a course of years. But as we've been studying Joseph's life, we have been seeing that, you know, he couldn't catch a break sometimes for trying. His life was characterized by family dysfunction and many unfair circumstances, and he was frequently discouraged. Through our series of sermons, we learned some lessons. And today, if you'll grab your outline, I have five of them that I want to talk about. So five lessons, beginning with lesson number one. It says, God may allow dysfunction and difficulties in our lives to prove he is always with us. How do you respond when things seem to be unfair? Do you sense God's presence? Do you feel like God is with you? Do you trust God? During times of difficulty and uncertainty, we may be tempted to even question God. We may be tempted to question his goodness. We may be tempted to question his love for us. Sometimes we even are tempted to shake our fist and to complain to God for the circumstances we find ourselves in. Let me encourage you to be as Joseph. He trusted God. He knew that God was always with him. You see, when our job situation might seem unfair, we can trust God. When our family is in turmoil, we can trust God. He's always there. When our circumstances seem unfair, we can trust God. He is always there. When we're dealing with serious illness or difficult challenges, we can trust God because he is always there. Sometimes we ask God, where are you, God? Where are you in all of this? And I want to tell you, many times I've heard people say, we're not supposed to question God. Read the Psalms and see how many times God's inspired word says, why are you so far off? Where are you, Lord? I don't think God would have given us that in his inspired word if it was wrong to question. But there is an answer to that. Where is God in times of difficulty? And I want you to know that in those times of difficulty, he is never more present. Okay? And he says in his word, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You want to know where God is in your times of difficulty, in your challenges of life? He is right there. And his righteous right hand is reaching out. Grab a hold of it, because he's present. He is always with us. In fact, he tells us in his word that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. The Lord was with Joseph. And know this, the Lord is always with you as well. Lesson 2. God may allow dysfunction and difficulties in our lives to teach us to rely on him. After Joseph was falsely accused of being with Potiphar's wife, he was thrown in prison. Two of his fellow prisoners were Pharaoh's baker and cupbearer. They had a dream, and they needed somebody to interpret it. And Joseph interpreted that dream. And it turns out that exactly what Joseph said the dream meant, that's what happened. The baker was executed. The cupbearer was set free and returned to serving Pharaoh. And as he was leaving prison, Joseph said to the cupbearer, hey, when you're before Pharaoh, remember me. Did he remember? For two long years, Joseph sat in a dirty, dark dungeon, completely forgotten. He was there for a crime he did not commit. Felt pretty unfair, right? I did nothing wrong, he must have said in his mind. I don't deserve to be in this dungeon. And yet he was there. I want to suggest that during that whole time, he trusted God. He relied upon God and trusted him even though things didn't make sense. I don't know about you. I find myself in situations sometimes that don't make sense. Do you ever try to do everything right and it still ends up wrong? Do you ever try to make right choices and things still don't turn out the way you hoped that they would? You know, when Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife saying, hey, come on in, he made the right choice. He resisted, and still, there he is in prison. He teaches us something very important. Even when things are unfair, even when things don't go the way we think they should, we can trust God. God is someone that we can always rely upon. Joseph didn't cry, oh, this is unfair. He didn't complain about his circumstances. He didn't shake his fist at God. Instead, he relied upon God. How do you respond when God's timing is not your timing? Is there anybody here that's impatient besides me? At least some of you are honest, okay? Patience, waiting on God to answer. That can be really tough. But from Joseph's life, we learn that we need to trust. We need to trust. Maybe you would say this too. In those times of greatest difficulty, sometimes the only thing we can do is trust God and rely upon him. And he is always, always, always faithful. He is always faithful. Lesson number 3. God may allow dysfunction and difficulties in our lives, but it need not define us. I want you to think about that for a second. Joseph had every reason to give up on life. He could have used his dysfunctional childhood as an excuse. He could have used all of the difficult things that happened in his life as an excuse to give up. He could have had a pity party. He could have played the victim. He could have used things, all these circumstances, to define who he was. But he didn't. In fact, in Genesis, whoa. Why am I doing that? Am I missing it? There should be a verse there, Kyle. Am I going to get it? I'm missing it. Well, let me read it to you. I got scared. I'll read it to you. It was there at 8 o'clock. I must have deleted it. It says, "The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When the master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned." Here's the point. All of the junk that happened in Joseph's life, he could have let that become his identity. Instead, he continued to live a life, continued to try to make the right choices. He continued to be faithful. And Potiphar recognized, and so did Pharaoh, that the Lord was with him in all that he did. The abilities that he had were given to him by God. He was not defined by his difficulties. Instead, let me suggest, he was defined by his God. Perhaps your own family was dysfunctional. If you take out a dictionary and look up dysfunctional family, there's a family photo right next to those words. That's possible, okay? Maybe you were abused as a child and put down. Maybe you were told that you were useless. Maybe you were told that you'll never amount to anything. Maybe you were told that you are no good. But let me say this. As a follower of Christ, we are not defined by the negative things others may have said to us. Instead, we're defined by what God says about us. We are created in His image. We are loved with an everlasting love. And we are His treasured possession.
What if God told you who you are?
That in Him there is no condemnation,
no judgment,
no rejection.
What if God told you that He loves you?
And that He will never stop loving you?
What if God told you
that He doesn't keep a log of past offenses,
of how little you pray,
or how often you've disappointed Him?
What if He told you that you are righteous
because of His righteousness?
Right now.
What if He told you to stop beating yourself up?
That His grace for you abounds,
even when you think the most horrible thoughts, because you are already made in His image.
What if He told you that if you repent,
and if He's your Savior, you're going to heaven?
No matter what.
What would your life look like then?
If you stop trying so hard,
and just let God live His life through you.
Grace.
Mercy.
Forgiveness.
Salvation.
Redemption.
Through Jesus Christ.
Our Savior.
We are loved. We are saved.
Now let's live it like we know it.
We need not to be defined by the circumstances of our life. We need to live our lives based on what Jesus says about us, what God says about us, and who we are in Him. That's the truth. That's the unchanging truth. Lesson number 4. God may allow dysfunction and difficulties in our lives to shape us. God used difficulty in Joseph's life to make him, or to shape him, into the man that he was. His family was dysfunctional. There were unfair things that happened to him. They could have made him better, or bitter rather. but they made him better instead. You see, when Joseph faced temptation, he learned how to resist temptation. When Joseph was mistreated by his brothers, he learned forgiveness. When Joseph was forgotten in prison, he learned patience and reliance upon God. You see, God had a purpose for the things he allowed in Joseph's life. Today in Josh's Sunday school class, we talked about unfair circumstances and things that happen in people's lives. And people will say, oh, how could a loving God allow that to happen? Okay, whatever that something might be. And God sometimes uses those very things to shape us. James says this in the New Testament. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. When we face trials and difficulties, it really shows us who we are. It reveals our weakest parts. Trials and difficulties build character. Trials and difficulties develop reliance upon God. I want to tell you something. It's pretty easy to be self-reliant until you don't have a choice but to be God-reliant. Trials and difficulties develop patience as we wait on God to answer. Trials and difficulties inspire compassion for others. Think about that. You know, if you've experienced something in your life and somebody else experiences a similar circumstance, when you go and you put your arm around that person and you say, I know exactly how you feel, and they know that you know exactly how they feel. Wow. Just wow. All right? Trials and difficulties soften our hearts. They have a way of softening those rough, rocky parts of us. They keep us humble. Perhaps like Joseph, you've experienced family dysfunction. You've experienced circumstances in your life and it doesn't make sense and it's frustrating and you're hurt and you're discouraged. Sometimes we need to look at these things from God's perspective. You know, God doesn't make any mistakes. God doesn't make any mistakes. You know, the day my first wife passed away, one of our church people were there with us at the time. And I remember this 28 years later. She said to me these words, God never makes any mistakes. Those words were hard to hear then. Well, as far as I was concerned, that was a big mistake. But God doesn't make mistakes. God carried out whatever his plan was for me. And used that many times. Used that many times to come alongside of others. We need to learn to view things from God's perspective. God's plan is never to harm us or to hurt us. He uses everything in our lives. The challenges, the difficulties, even the junk, to make us the person that he desires for us to be. And then our last lesson is this, lesson 5. God may allow dysfunction and difficulties in our lives to fulfill his purpose. The key verse for this whole study was found in verse 20 of chapter 50. When Joseph looked at his brothers and said, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. You see, when Joseph interpreted the dreams of his brothers, it was all part of God's plan. When Joseph was sold into slavery, it was all part of God's plan. When Joseph was given authority in Potiphar's house, it was part of God's plan. And when Joseph interpreted the dreams of the baker and the cupbearer. That also was part of God's plan. When Joseph was forgotten in prison, it was part of God's plan. When Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream, it was part of God's plan. When Joseph rose to be second in command in all of Egypt, that was part of God's plan. When God brought 7 years of abundance and Joseph was in charge of storing up the food for the 7 years of famine that would come, that was all part of God's plan. Because all of that needed to take place in order for God's promise that he gave to Abraham to be fulfilled. The greatest part of that fulfillment is a blessing to us today. Because God promised that through the seed of Abraham, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And it was through the seed of Abraham that God sent his only son, Jesus, into this world to be our Savior. If all of God's people had died from starvation, we would be missing the godly line of God's son, Jesus. We could be missing a Savior. It was all part of God's plan. Do you think they understood what God was doing? Could they see it? Of course not. Joseph had a glimpse of vision, of wisdom and vision to just be able to say, you meant this for harm? God meant this to accomplish his plan. And just maybe some of the dysfunction and difficulty is going on in your life, God is crafting a plan that maybe you can't even see today. But God is working. We can trust God, whatever his plan is. It is always right. It is always good. It is always loving. It is always just. And he makes no mistakes. Joseph's life was characterized by family dysfunction, by unfair circumstances, and frequent discouragement. But it was all part of God's plan. All of that was part of God's plan. No matter the difficulty or challenge, we need to remember this. No matter what's going on, God is always with us. He will never leave us. He will never abandon us. We can trust him. He is always faithful. He is always trustworthy. Yes, we have problems. Yes, things happen that just, if we had a choice, they wouldn't happen. But we need to understand that our circumstances don't need to define us. When we think about how God views us and how God loves us, that should define us. That defines who we are. We're not what somebody said to us. We're not what somebody did to us. We're who God says we are, his dearly loved children. Yes, God uses those difficult circumstances in our lives. Often those are little classrooms of learning where we learn things that we didn't know. We've all been in situations where we said, I don't know how I'm ever going to get through this. And God came alongside of us and we got through. And we're not the same person we were then. God used that to shape us and transform us into some way. And then the last thing we have to remember is this. God has a plan. And his plan is always better than what we think our plan should be. God is always right, and his purposes are better. Somebody might say, well, what kind of a God would allow all of these horrible things to happen to fulfill his will? And I will say, a God who allowed the very same thing for himself. God clothed himself in human flesh. He came to this earth in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He grew to manhood. He was tempted in every way that you and I are tempted. He was rejected by his own people. They thought he was crazy. They wanted nothing to do with him. And yet, that same God, through an act of his purpose, allowed himself to be brutally treated and ultimately crucified on a cross to fulfill his purpose, to be able to pay the penalty that was due for your sin and mine. So what kind of a God allows adversity to carry out his plan? The same God who experienced the ultimate adversity as he carried out his plan to provide a sacrifice, his plan to provide the only solution for sin, his plan to provide a Savior. So, think about this. What have you learned from this sermon series? And my friends, as your pastor, I hope you learned something. I know once in a while somebody say, man, pastor, you know, you just talked about this on Sunday. Now I'm going through this in my life. I just hope I can make the right choices like Joseph did, all right? And maybe that's you. And then what's more important than the knowledge is the application. How will you apply these lessons to your life? If you get nothing else, get this. Trust God. He's always loving. He's always right. He is always faithful. He makes no mistakes. He will never leave you. He will never abandon you. And ultimately, we can trust his will to be done. Father, thank you for who you are. We thank you for Joseph's life and for the lessons that we have learned from his life. How relevant your word is thousands of years later. I pray, Lord, for each one in this room. I know that there are challenges, there are difficulties, there's parts of things that we encounter in life that just seem unfair. Yet, you are always there for us, and we're so grateful for that, and we can fully trust you. Sometimes, Lord, all we can do is fall into your arms and allow you to be God. Many times, God, you show us things about ourselves. You shape us. You develop us and develop our character to be more compassionate, to be more like your Son. Whatever it is, Lord, help us to always, always trust in you and your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.